So when I walked into his office, he and I met eye to eye, shaking hands, and he asked me a question. He said, "Dan, how did such a young man such as yourself get into the business of cancer?" That's a really interesting question. And I took that question inward, and it went right through any ego defense mechanisms, and it hit me right in the core. It really hit my true authentic self, and I asked the question internally, how did I get into the business of cancer? What was really cool in that moment, I can say now, and back then even, there was no feeling that cancer was gonna be my demise. It felt like if I could answer that question, I could save my soul and help a lot of people.
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. And today I'm really excited for our guest because he has an incredible story. And forgive me if I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but we have Daniel.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Hegerich.
That is a heck of a last name, but it's a heck of a story too. Tell us about yourself, Daniel, and where it started.
Well, first, I want to appreciate you for inviting me to come on your show. And to what we mentioned earlier was just to offer someone hope. We just want someone to have the imagination that their future will be better than their present day, and that they dig deeply inside themselves so that they could do whatever it takes to make that happen. That's the first start.
So that's awesome. So for people that don't know, you survived cancer 6 times, and that's pretty much all I know about you. That's pretty much all I read. And I'm like, I have to talk to this guy. So tell us about your cancer journey, if you will, how it started.
Let me try and help people out and put it into 3 phases of my life right now. So there was the years before I was diagnosed with cancer. Then there were the years that I had cancer and went through cancer treatment and I was dealing with that challenge. And then there's post-cancer, right? So there's those 3 phases. And a lot of people think that cancer was the adversity, and it was in its own right. Each phase has its adversity, each phase of that. So the adversity in precancerous days from 0 to 29 years old, I had to deal with a lot of adversity. And that cumulative effect of not dealing with it appropriately led me to the cancer diagnosis. Now, what does that mean? In a nutshell, I wasn't living my true authentic self. And so I had a social mask and I had a facade on that said everything inside of me was going great and everything was fine. But deeply internally, I felt a lack of connection with myself and a lack of connection with intimate connection with others. It was really on the surface, superficial. And I was living the so-called American dream that's scripted for all of us. So those who live in America, we have a script, or who don't live in America, our script is if you go to school and get a good education,
then you automatically get this high-paying job by 20-something, and then you'll have kids by 30-something, and then you'll have the house by 35 at the latest. Yeah.
Yeah. So the script was exactly that. Get your education, get a good job, find a woman, have a wife, and then start retirement. Start your retirement fund. Like at 25, I'm worried about my retirement. That's not living. That's not life.
I was worried about, I was talking to my therapist and I said, I don't have a paying job because I don't make any money off this. I want this to be my paying job, but I don't make any money off this. I'm like, I don't have a paying job. I don't have a husband. It's just, what were you breaking? And I'm like, you're right. There is no rule written down.
That's great advice in a sense that we make our own script up, right?
Yes.
And so that was the script that I was playing. So I got the civil engineering degree, came out of there, and had a few years of being a promiscuous playboy and the engineer and partying hard through high school and college, actually through junior high school and college, drinking to deal with the adversity that I was dealing with that I was going through, which was a lot of chaos in the family upbringing. Wasn't sad. I wasn't necessarily sad. I felt like I was happy as long as I had friends and I could play sports, but there was still something missing. And so at around 14, my parents separated. That was a trauma. I didn't know how to deal with it. So I just dug deep into alcohol and drugs, like mostly pot and various other psychedelics, and started experimenting with a lot of drugs. And that really led to a pretty aggressive habit up and through college. So I wasn't living my true authentic self. I went to college to be an engineer to satisfy my mom, because she said you have to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. And that's how she'll extend her pride or appreciation in me. So I do that, but it still backfired because I didn't still really receive that feeling that I was missing. Anyway, so that American dream came to a halt when I was about 29. I was 6 months after I got married. And I was in the office of an oncologist out of Boston. And I was wondering, why am I so sick? And they had taken a biopsy out of my neck. And I was going to find out what's the prognosis and diagnosis of that biopsy. So when I walked into his office, he and I met eye to eye, shaking hands. And he asked me a question. He said, "Dan, how did such a young man such as yourself get into the business of cancer?" That's a really interesting question. And I took that question inward, and it went right through any ego defense mechanisms, and it hit me right in the core. It really hit my true authentic self. And I asked the question internally, how did I get into the business of cancer? What was really cool in that moment, I can say now, and back then even, there was no feeling that cancer was going to be my demise. It felt like if I could answer that question, I could save my soul and help a lot of people. And my mind asked the question, or that part of me asked the question internally, and my mind went to seek the answer. That's what the mind does, right? It rationalizes and validates anything that we want to put it to work to find. So in that moment, eternal moment, I saw that I was not living my true authentic self. That I was buried beneath some sort of deep insecurities. And then it showed me all the ways that I was emotionally illiterate. Like I didn't know what my feelings were. I didn't know how to express them in a healthy way. I always felt that if I expressed my emotions, then I would be shamed or blamed, or there would be something wrong with me. Especially being a masculine man, right? You can't share your feelings. And so then it showed me all the behaviors that I was taking on that were not, let's say, they were less than optimal for my health and well-being. Mix that all in with this desire to be healthy and playing sports and lifting weights, being in the gym and having one foot in that field. And then in the other one, I played hard and I worked hard and I partied hard. So that was the story right there in that moment. And then Dr. Lawrence Cloud had another statement. He said, "Dan, with a little bit of pain and suffering, you will grow stronger," which is remarkable. And I think a lot of your guests, even yourself, will understand that if you enter the pain, it's a lot less painful than resisting it.
Was he the spiritual Buddha or something? Like, what?
That's what you're saying now. And I know a lot of people say that, but no, he was just an old school oncologist that we don't know how come that happened in that moment. And the only thing I can do, remember, the mind can make it up. I can only make it up. That was divine intervention. That somewhere, somehow, something else showed up for the benefit of myself, for the benefit of my higher calling, for the benefit of my purpose and meaning in life. essentially, he was my professor, and he gave me my life syllabus in a question. He said, Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? And I said, if I could answer that question, if that could become my life thesis, and I can answer that with some reasonable practicality, then I can help save my soul, because it was really at a brink moment there. And I could actually help other people along the way, which is what we're here to do, right? We said that in the beginning. We're trying to provide a little bit of hope for someone's future to be better than their present moment, present day. But we have to be willing to enter our pain. We have to be willing to go into our pain, knowing that on the other side of our pain or fears is greater liberation into our true authentic nature.
What you just said, I'm tempted to be like, bye, y'all. See you next week. But honestly, I was just, it's so ironic because I was just listening to a podcast before you came on here, the tail end of it. And it was all about how the body, mind, and spirit basically are connected. And it was with a guy named Dr. Curt Thompson, C-U-R-T. And you may want to look him up because he sounds amazing. And he was talking about all of that and how like the mind, body, and spirit are just connected and how stress can make you sick, basically, and if you don't deal with it.
There is an upside to stress. Stress is necessary for growth, right? Stress is necessary for us to grow. So if the chickling is in the egg and it tries to break through the eggshell, it's stressful, but it's its only means to growth. So stress is not bad or good. It's how we approach stress.
And which is what I'm trying to learn daily. And yes, like how can we approach stress to make it productive instead of all consuming?
I think there's discernment. What's good stress and what's bad stress? Any stress that I undergo that's going to greatly liberate me from my fears is a great stress. Any stress that's going to make me stronger within my body is a good stress. Negative stress is holding on to my negative thoughts and stewing in my negative thoughts. That's not a great expression of stress, right? That will harm the body in a negative way. So I guess in the holistic picture and the wholeness of life, stress is neither good or bad. It's how you discern between it and how you can use stress to make yourself a better human being.
Which is amazing what you just said, because I'm trying to learn to do that. So you have all these like initials besides your name on the like Zoom name tag. What do those mean and how did you get those?
I don't have that many, but I'm a certified I'm a certified heroic coach, and I'm in the master program as well at heroic.us. It's a small plug for them, but it's essentially we're trying to help create individuals like me, like you, like your listeners to become the hero of their own story. And we do that by helping them create an identity that they can fall in love with in their energy, work, and love. So what's your identity in your health, like your body? What's your body feel like, right? What identity? Now you have limitations, your constraints of your own reality, but you can still create something amazing, right? And as an example for the listeners, my identity that I'm creating by the actions I take and the habits I form is I'm a primal athlete in my physical body. Because I like the idea of being Tarzan.
Don't we all?
I want to play in the jungle, right? Kind of thing. And I have constraints of that reality, so I just playfully go about it. Now, in my work identity, the way you might create wealth, and I'll go back to what wealth, my idea of wealth. My work identity is a heroic performance life coach and a wise sage. A lot of people look to me and they hire me for wisdom. And that means perspective, have a perspective. I've got a great sense of humor and a perspective on life based on what I've gone through with the cancer treatments and the bone marrow transplant and all that adversity, that gave rise to my ability to see things differently and to be in the world a little bit differently than what we were programmed to do. So if I'm not creating my reality, I'm running the program, right? The script. So I didn't like that script because it brought me to cancer and then the treatments and there and that. And then I thought, I am the creator of my reality. What I come to is miracles don't just happen. They are created and you are the creator. So if you accept that, then you know that if I co-created my illness, I can co-create my wellness. Only until I take responsibility for what I created. So once I take responsibility for my creation, then I know I am the creator and I can create. And that's exactly what we're doing here. You and I are creating something. We're creating hope, we're creating inspiration, because that needs to come first before any information.
I don't even know what to say to you. You are just so crazy wise. So how do we create inspiration?
You are it. You don't have to create it. You are already created as inspiration.
So I don't usually ask people this because we're not like a faith podcast or whatever, but can I ask you, do you believe in God or anything spiritual? Because you are very spiritually connected, it seems like.
Yes. So spirituality to me is doing what you need to do in the moment in order to be a better human being. In fact, you can even say to be a great human being. That action right there is spirituality applied or awareness applied. So I definitely lean in terms of my essence is definitely leaning in the spiritual realm, which is some might say it's in the unseen world. It's not really seen. It's not an object that you can put on, right? It's not science. Science is the other side, let's say. Science is something you can actually put some kind of objectiveness to it. But I go beyond the sciences because, let's face it, I'm not supposed to be here according to science. So they don't know. They just say, keep doing what you're doing. We really don't know how to help you. That was essentially after I left medicine. Let me just bring this back. I know we're going off on tangents. And let me finish one thought and then we'll come back to this. One was, what's your identity and your work, your wealth or your work, your health, your work and your love? I missed the one, what's your identity and love? Who do you want to be in relationship? And I think I want to be a loyal friend to everybody. I want to see everybody as family. And that doesn't mean I don't want intimacy with a woman and stuff like that as a life partner down the road. That's awesome. But I still want to be a friend to her. I want to be a loyal friend to her. So that's my identity and love. So what do I need to do in order to be that in the world? Who do I need to be in that? So that's what I work on a regular basis, on a daily basis, is one of them. Let me just give you listeners and yourself and remind me, the best thing to do is to be grateful. That's the fastest thing. Is I'm feeling depressed because I'm not grateful for life. Like I'm supposed to have something in my life that's not there. So I'm depressed that I don't have it. That's not being grateful for what you do have. That's a fast way to get into the state of love. And back to work, I said wealth, that's where we create our wealth, but our wealth is our creation. Our wealth is our creative imagination that we can bring into tangible reality that other people can value. That's where your wealth is. Now, money can be an expression of that creative process, but some people have free time. Free time is an expression of wealth. So they can be creative and do their stuff. Right? So the real thing is don't focus on money, focus on being creative. That other people, and that's express your creativeness and see if people can value it. So health, wealth, and love, Those are the three areas of life that we're all focused on to live optimally in body, mind, and spirit. Your health is your body. Honor it. It's the holy temple. Do what you can, do what you know, and expand your knowledge of what you can do to make your body, like I like to say, to hum like a new car. If you bought a new car, how that feels. Like you treat your body like that. I want to get my car, my human vehicle tuned up. And then be creative in your mind and work out the things that are blocking our creative imagination to be into the world. And it's usually insecurity somewhere, right? I just don't have a belief in myself, or I have beliefs and thoughts about myself that have to be shifted, or perspective about my situation that has to be shifted. And then love, of course, just be love in the world. Don't look for love outside of yourself. Look for it inside of you. Be love in all its forms. Be encouraging. Be empathetic. And be generous. Be kind. And then we put it all together and say, what do I need to do that? What do I need to do in order to be that? So that's the part that I wanted to finish up and then come back to this notion that when I left medicine in 2000, so that I was in the psychiatric ward because I had realized, they said, hey, I need to learn how to self-love myself back to well-being. That's the answer to cancer. That's the answer to almost everybody's problem. But what does self-love mean? It means you have to love the self you want to become. You have to have an imagination or an inspiration to say, hey, I want to become this way in the world. I want to fall in love with that. And instead of being self-hatred to who you might think you are in this moment, fall in love with who you want to be. I want to be healthier. Fall in love with that. I want to be wealthier. Fall in love with that person. I want to be more loving. Great. Fall in love with that identity. Fall in love with that person. And then start figuring it out. And why do I want to do that? Why do I want to be a healthier person or a wealthier and loving person? Because I want to change the world. Like I want to help contribute to making a better, the world a better place to experience our humanity. That's why I want to do it. It starts with me. And that's the only place it goes. It doesn't go anywhere else. I have to be that.
Which, turn off the news and listen to that, and then we'd all be in a better place. But I don't think people are going to do that.
I go further. Turn off cable, right? Just cut your cable bill. You'll save yourself $200 a month, and you can go and get a massage twice a month.
Yes.
Right? So anyway, in 5 months after I left the medical model, because my tumors came back, I know I'm going around here, but my tumors came back when I was in the psychiatric ward. Because the psychiatrist at the time said, Dan, you don't need to see self-love, you need medication. So they don't understand the spiritual essence of us.
The psychiatrist didn't even understand.
They don't know it. They can't, because they can't prescribe it and make money. You can't prescribe love and get paid in their model of health and being or disease management in my world. That's what they do. Anyway, I realized I'm out of this. How do I get out of this? And finally, it became personal. And then I went home. I spent time with my mom during the summer of 2000. And in 5 months, applying a philosophy of life and love and health, I applied that over that summer. And my tumors went away in 5 months, all of them. Gone. And that was 23 years ago.
Dang. That is incredible. So you had no therapy or anything?
Oh, along the way, I had plenty. Trust me. I had to put myself back together. Yes. I had no identity in the world. I was what I call life bankrupt. I didn't have my health. I didn't have
like chemo or anything.
I had tons of chemo. Yeah, okay. I did. 6 years of chemo. Radiation, bone marrow transplant, surgeries, a divorce at the same time, and then the collapse of my own identity, which meant I was hopeless. I felt hopeless on many fronts, except for if I could build a body then I can channel, I can hold energy and channel energy.
That is incredible. This is not anything to do with anything at all, but I am dying to know. I am a huge Survivor fan, and Survivor happened to premiere in the summer of 2000. Did you watch that first season of Survivor?
No, I didn't. I didn't at all, no.
All right, because I was like, I wonder if you did, because you said summer of 2000. But
yeah, anyway. That's pretty funny that it started then.
Back to the podcast now. Okay, go ahead with what you were going to say.
No, I was just saying, after the tumors went away, I then had the hardest adversity, which is now post-cancer. Remember the three phases. Prior to cancer, living the American script turns into the American dream. The American dream turns into the American nightmare.
Nightmare.
And you wake up from the nightmare, which was going through 6 years of chemotherapy and all kinds of human stressors of divorce and loss of self. And mind you, all those stressors had a silver lining underneath them, which was essentially cancer taught me how to live and divorce taught me how to love. How can they be considered problems and really difficult things if that's what they're there to do, is teach me how to live and how to love? Oh, okay, fantastic. So now I had to repair a body that was damaged by so much chemotherapy, radiation, and the bone marrow transplant and the damages along the spine and various things. I had to build a body, and I had to actually find out. This was the inspiration, to be honest, Devin, was after I didn't realize I could heal those tumors. Like, that wasn't something I thought I could do. It was just something I was just, let's just try something. I'm getting messages from my own inner voice, let's put it to use. So the tumors go away, and that's when hope started to flood my system. Now I have to repair a body and build a body. But most importantly, I was like, what was it in me that allowed me to create this miracle? And the only thing I can come up with, I was inspired by something else out that you can't put words to. And it's in somewhere deep inside of all of us, that something else in spirit to live an inspired life became more important than anything else.
I don't even know what to say. Have you read A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle? And if so, what do you think of it?
I haven't read The New Earth. I read his first book, The Power of Now. And that was shared in 2000 when I was going through this intense phase of my healing. My mentor at the time suggested I read that book because I was living that book in some way. Certainly a parallel, but not an exact story. So I read his book that summer of 2000, which helped me a great deal in order to inspire me.
Because I'm so many chapters behind, but I'm listening to this podcast where they're doing like a book club of The New Earth. It's not what they usually do. They're just doing it as a bonus episode in addition to their regular podcast. He talks a lot about ego in the first three chapters, and they were talking about how we put so much ego in our bodies and stuff, and how we put so much ego in materialism, and how designer labels are basically just the same fabrics hiked up 10 times because they're supposed to be designer. But the only reason they're designer is we put so much ego into them. And it was really fascinating.
It is. We call that the hedonic pathway. So the hedonic pathway is where all the vices are. And that means we're chasing pleasure, anything that stimulates our sensory organs, right? It just gets us stimulated in sensationalism. So we chase pleasure and we have an adversity, or we run away from any painful things or anything that's uncomfortable. So that's the hedonic pathway. And that's what you might refer to as the egoic pathway in some regards. But the other pathway is the hero's pathway. And that is to live a noble, virtuous, and moral life. In other words, to take the high road, or to listen to your higher voice, or to become your true authentic self, or to be your true authentic self. Those are the two pathways we get to choose. Now, in society, we've been bombarded with this hedonic pathway, which is the pathway of vice, but it's been dressed up as virtuous. So it's virtuous to live that path. And that's why everybody wants to be truthful, kind, empathetic. They get socially outcasted with the masses because it threatens their hedonic pathway. It threatens their so-called pleasure. That's why if you tell people to turn off the news, that's where they're getting their pleasure. Unfortunately, that's what they're receiving. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I majored in communications, and it doesn't say this on my degree because I didn't have a technical specialty, but I specialized in media and rhetoric, mostly rhetoric. And in this rhetorical theory class, we were discussing news, and I won't get too much into the nitty gritty, but it's basically designed to keep you watching.
Yes. That's the hedonic pathway. It keeps you on a treadmill thinking you're getting somewhere, but you're on a treadmill. You're going nowhere. It's going nowhere. It just keeps you there.
It's crazy. Okay. One more question before we get off here that I'm dying to know the answer to from you. Why do we buy what we don't need?
That's an addictive pathway. It's a dopamine surge to go and hunt and kill something and get something. There's a dopamine surge. And so it's an addictive pathway. And then people don't know what they really want. Like they don't know what they want. So they want everything. And so they're vulnerable to want everything and collect it and bring it home. And it's a part of the program. It's part of the marketing. It's part of the advertisement. It's part of keeping us trapped in that place. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have things that we like. It just means I only have a couple of things I really like. Food is one of them, right?
Yeah, I really like food.
Yeah.
We kind of food, yes.
And I like specific clothing that I wear, but I have less clothing and just the clothing I like. And so we all have our likes, but a lot of people don't know what they really like. So they're subjective and vulnerable to liking, wanting and liking everything. But again, it comes back to it being a addictive pathway to cope with the pain. In other words, shopping for stuff you don't need necessarily, or even don't like, it's just because it's on sale or you have money to burn.
I've done that. Okay. I'm trying to curb this and not admit this, but there was a point in my life, and there is a point where I'm trying to hear it now. I was a compulsive shopper. I would see it and online and I would buy it. And now this is a lot of therapy too, but is that because I wasn't feeling good enough and I was trying to feel good enough? Oh, I had this thing.
And then you felt better in the moment. Yeah. And so it's a coping strategy for the pain of being alone, the pain of letting go, the pain. What I like to say is, if you have to go without, you have to go within. But if you don't have that acknowledgement that you have to go within and connect with your own spirit, your own true self, then you're going to keep trying to fill that emptiness with something outside of you. And it doesn't matter what it is. Food is the number one go-to that people fill themselves and stuff themselves with because they don't want to go without. And they don't want to feel that emptiness and that lack of connection. Dr. Garber Mate,
G-A-B-O-R. I love him. Oh my God.
Oh, you do? Yes. Right. All right. So he speaks to this very clearly.
He is just brilliant.
He is. He's got what we call, he's gone through his phase, his large phase of conscious healing. So he entered his own conscious suffering. So a lot of my work as a coach is basically helping people to go into their conscious suffering with hope and faith and courage and bring it on. Like, we have to touch our own unconscious suffering with our love that we are. And then we become more liberated and we naturally become more compassionate towards other people.
Which, I mean, we all need in this.
Oh, in a, yeah, that's an understatement.
Day, do you think?
Yeah.
So how can people, including me, when I get the money, book a coaching session with you?
Oh, you guys are the best. So you get a 30-minute free consultation because we need to know what, if you're right for the program, for my work. You just go to my website, Dan Hegerich, DanHegerich.com. I'll put it in the chat so you have it for yourself.
Which we'll put it in the, and we'll put it in the show notes too.
Perfect. And I'd be glad to talk to you because everything starts with a dialogue. You have to have a conversation. Nothing goes without a conversation. Number two, you have to be willing to take that risk to be seen, to be felt, to be heard.
Which is, something must be trying to speak to me because that's the podcast I was listening to this morning and that's what we're talking about tonight. So, okay. All right,
then you're going to have to sign up for a 30-minute consult.
Yes. After that, how much are the sessions?
It's all on my website.
Okay, yeah.
There's definitely, mostly I do individual sessions and then I do a 14-week committed session program. And that program we create together. Remember, I told you, we're the creators. So we create something for you.
Anything you want to add before we get off here? I can't imagine what you'd add, but.
No, I'm just going to remind everybody where we started. So I'm going to remind people, miracles don't just happen. They are created. And you are the creator. Once you accept that, now you take ownership of being the creator of your own life. Or at the very least, co-creator. Because we're helping each other create our lives anyway. You and me right here are co-creating each other. But I made the choice to reach out to you to be on the show, and you reached out to me. So we have our individual parts, but we have a collective part together as well. That's why they should call and get a coach, a mentor, or something in your life so that you can actually co-create your reality.
That is incredible. Thank you so much for being on here. I didn't know this was going to double as a therapy session, but I'm glad it did.
I was excited this morning to meet with you because I love, instead of deal with it, wheel with it. I thought that was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yes, that's it. And yeah, let me know. We'll hook up at maybe outside of this podcast and see what we can find inside your soul.
We definitely will, at least for the 30-minute consultation for now. And then we will discuss down the road. Thank you so much for being here. Really, thank you so much for being here because you blew my mind. And we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. Please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.